So I did it when I was 21.
Oh.
When I was 20, actually.
That's 90 and, years ago.
Yeah, so he said, oh, was it you, Dad? So I keep all my birthday cards, Father's Day cards, Christmas cards. But going through them one day, dear Dad, thanks for everything you do for us. And I really appreciate you encouraging me to go into real estate. So he happened to be over that day. I went and got the card, put it in front of him. Didn't say, oh, yeah, okay, just a wry smile. So I caught him.
That card was in your handwriting, though.
Yeah, boy. Yeah.
So how long were you in real estate and then you left? And when did
something
else?
Yeah, when I was young, because I was having in 76, I left in 76 for the reason that my firstborn was...
Right. You went to be home on the weekends.
I had fruit and veggie and a deli for quite 7 years.
Yeah.
Then I went to a company called Sea Lanes and I worked there for 30 years, but that was after.
Ah, fish distributor, Sea Lanes, yeah.
Wholesale food,
yep.
Not just fish. And I went to Sullivan Property, but he saw me a job instead. He was the better salesman.
Beautiful. All right, guys, we'll get rolling, shall we? So today on The Crunch, we have Team Trolio. Luke, Craig, Nick here. You guys have been – we're just having a chat about the start of the real estate dynasty, the family dynasty. Craig started 20 years ago.
September 2003, correct.
Beautiful. Yeah. And then you dragged Luke and Nick kicking and screaming into the family business. Is that right?
That's right. January 2007, Nick and I both commenced.
Beautiful. Okay. So 15 years selling in the southern suburbs around Hammy Hill area.
Yeah. Hamilton. Yep.
Beautiful. So the reason I wanted to get you guys in to have a chat, obviously chat about your kind of family dynamic, your successes as a unit, but also you were part of the Harcourts franchise operating as Harcourts Realty Plus for about 10 years and then left Harcourts at the start of 2022 to operate independently for a couple of months and then moved to the agency.
That's
correct?
That's correct, yes.
Beautiful. So we are going to get into that move because I really am interested in kind of the flow of agents going to the agency right now and what the attraction is there. We'll come back to that. To kick us off though, let's talk about your market and how things are going at the moment. We were just talking about listing stock levels have just fallen below 7,000, very, very low. How are you guys finding things?
It's still rather busy despite talks of and yesterday's interest rate increase. Seemingly you'd assume that that'll put a dampener on things, but buyer sentiment's still relatively strong. In particular though, for a new property or near new property, we're finding that's where the majority of the market tends to gravitate toward.
Okay.
Or in the alternative, the older style home on the larger size blocks. Mm-hmm. So that portion of the market hasn't really tapered off as yet.
Okay. 6 interest rate rises in a row. Were you just going to say something, Nick?
No, that's okay.
Okay.
I was just going to follow up.
Yeah.
As we spoke about before, a property comes up reasonably priced between 5 and 650, and there's a lot of interest in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And especially as Luke said, if it's on a full size block, it's fantastic. The response is incredible. We've had 10 offers on a property listed on a Wednesday, sold on the Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
10 offers, and we're still getting inquiries.
Yeah, very, very high level of inquiry. And that is what we were saying is. Because I was asking why stock levels still remaining so low and dropping, and potentially because people are, and we've talked about this previously on The Crunch, potentially people are scared to make a move because they don't know where they're going to go when their property sells.
100%. At the moment, I think we had probably, I can't remember how many, but there was a reasonable number of properties that we listed before Christmas, literally the week of Christmas. And most of those are not on the market yet. We've got, for example, one, the client, they're elderly, so the build has been delayed by probably 7 or 8 or 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want to list their property now, knowing that they'll sell it probably the first weekend. The issue is they don't want to move twice and where they're going to move to.
Yeah.
Because they can't get a pretty concrete, definitive time frame when their house would be complete.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got more and more of those sort of at the moment where there's properties that are listed but they're not actually even on the market yet.
Mm-hmm.
So we've noticed there's a lot of buyers that approach agents asking for off-market opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, we don't sort of do that because we believe that's not in the seller's best interest.
Yep.
But the amount of sort of those requests, that's probably the highest I've seen
really
since I started almost 20 years ago.
And
it's incredible, yeah.
So sixth interest rate rise in a row.
I think it might be 8 or 9 now.
Oh, is
but
it?
But still, but the either way, obviously there's been a lot and there's probably another two to four coming potentially.
Yeah, so at what point does that affect buyer sentiment, do you think, and where people start to, in your area, where people start to be concerned about managing their repayments?
Look, the biggest problem is a lot of couples are borrowing $750,000, and the interest rates, the way it's going up, if it keeps going up, that's going to put a lot more per month on their mortgage, and it's going to stretch them out.
Mm.
So that's the biggest concern. Having said that, I was in the 70s, in the 80s, interest rates were at 19%,
80%. Yeah.
So, there's a long way to go, but it will stretch people's finances out for sure.
Are people starting to look at, particularly you're looking at kind of families, either on first or second home, are they starting to look at, okay, our budget last year was $750, but we're going to have to start bringing it back to a $600?
In some cases I'd say yes, but overall I think why there's not much on the market. So and I believe, and look, no one knows, obviously no one's got a crystal ball, but I think the interest rate component in a normal market or in a market where you've got a lot more than 7,000 listings or under, so an equilibrium normally is about 12,000, what's a normal market.
Mm-hmm.
If we had 12,000 listings and interest rates consistently went up month after month, I would think there'd be a slowdown in the very near future.
Mm-hmm.
While there's less than 7,000 houses on the market, I mean, as an example that Dad mentioned, we had the one that came on Wednesday online, sorry, it was online on the Monday or Tuesday, first home open Wednesday night, 22 groups through. There was 10 offers or 12 before the first proper weekend home open, which was 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
We still had 15 or 18 turn up. So I don't think in the short term, long term, most markets will sort of obviously move. They might be sideways up or down, but in the next 6 or 12 months, even with 3 or 4 more rate increases, I generally don't believe that's going to affect the market.
Mm.
A lot of people listening might think that's typical agent talk, trying to talk it up. I thought the market would have pulled back the second half of last year. So we've sold a lot of our own personal investment properties thinking it hasn't got any more room to go. It's still going pretty strong at the moment.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
we had one in Coobala, 21 offers in one weekend.
Yeah.
And it sold for $136,000 more than the base price, and that wasn't even the highest offer.
If anything, surely at some point any fixed rate mortgages that were kind of set at 2 years are going to be coming up for expiry this year.
Yeah.
And surely that will, I don't know if that's going to increase volume, but surely that has to have an effect. If people are looking at an extra $1,000, $2,000 a month on their mortgage. Yeah,
the prevalence of the mortgagee sales,
mortgagee
possession sales, will spike. I actually thought it would quite dramatically the last 18 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the property receivers were saying.
Mm-hmm.
But they still share that sentiment that perhaps in the near future, that is 3 or 4 months' time, there'll be more residential and commercial mortgagee sales coming up because of the interest rate increases.
Yeah, absolutely.
Spot on. And that obviously comes back to the earlier probably assumption, obviously, when that happens, and it will happen at some stage. No one knows when the biggest amount will come on, but when that happens, demand and supply, there will no longer be more than likely less than 7,000 listings.
Yeah.
So it might go gradually back towards that 12 over time, and that's when I think you will see, obviously, a lot less of these 10, 12, 21 offers in a weekend sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And back to the newer homes, the reason why there's such a high interest in the newer homes is because of the protracted time frame in building.
Yes.
So
and
in
the cost of building, and of course,
exaggerated costs, well, the increased costs, people think, well, I'm going to buy something already built.
Yeah.
I might have to make a couple of sacrifices on A, B, and C, but ultimately the house is there. I know what I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
I know the price I'm entering.
It's locked in.
And
yep.
done.
And if they don't have to rent for the best part of 2 years, they're saving
50-odd grand anyway.
Well, yep. Yeah.
Oh,
yep.
So
60, 80 grand.
That's right.
The way the rentals are at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's if you can even get a rental. Forget about what price they're at, but you're can you physically get one?
Yeah.
So that's why I think there's been, as Luke said, even the one that we had last week was the 2011, so it's not news in a year old, but it's still relatively, it's structurally very sound. You can cosmetically change carpets and do paint. It's still pretty modern for now,
mm-hmm.
with a few minor cosmetic changes to less than 10 or 12,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. We will see where everything goes. If only we had a crystal ball. If only. Yeah. Guys, I want to ask you quickly as well. Obviously, family team, working together. How do you guys split your – do you take individual listings? Is Craig the listing machine and Luke's the selling machine and Nick's the, you know, all-rounder? How do you split the work?
We do everything together.
You do?
Normally what happens if someone rings me up and I sign them up as a listing – I look after that number one choice. However, we all have an input. We get emails galore and we decide who's going to do what.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't specialise in one particular area. We share the workload the three ways.
Wow.
So
has it always been like that? Or is it just
yes.
Yeah.
Perceivably, we could obviously make improvements and fine-tune and maybe we ought to have one person focus on buyers, one on selling and one on another aspect, but we don't. We're all across every file.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the benefit is, I guess, in a larger property or a property that's furnished, we like to, where possible, have the two of us present, the three of us present at that particular home open or inspection. It just gives the homeowner some added semblance of security.
Yep.
And you can cater toward a larger number of buyers, especially when you do have 10, 20, 30 groups come through the inspection.
And I guess, I mean, having been selling for 20 years in the area that you sell in, it's very much a community kind of area.
Yeah.
If people call Nick or they call Craig or they call you, they're expecting to work with that person. So
correct.
Not be kind of handed between.
No, correct. Right. But we do explain from day one that we work as a team. For instance, I'm the father and my two sons work together.
Mm-hmm.
And 9 times out of 10, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and as Luke touched on, if there's a double-storey house, we usually have two of us there present at all times, one upstairs, one downstairs if needed, and we could ask and answer questions. We'll answer the questions that's been asked of us. So, yeah, it works out really, really well.
And it works well for you guys? Ever had a Barney? Ever had a blue?
Very rarely. And if we do.
Last Thursday, I wasn't invited to Temping Bowling. So every Saturday, I'm stuck in home opens, and I saw a photo of Dad at the cricket last Saturday.
Yeah. Very honestly, and this is no exaggeration, we've never had an argument in all the time we worked as a team together. And even as a family.
Since last night.
Otherwise. That's a testament to you,
we're
Nick.
We're lucky.
We're very lucky
because we've got a lot of other family and friends that work with, you know, in the family, and they're not so lucky. So we generally have never had an issue, so we're really lucky.
Wow.
The other thing that's a massive help for myself and Luke, my kids are a bit older, so 16 and 13 this year. My nephew, Luke's son, Alessio, is 6 in about 2 weeks. But things are pretty flat out with kids after school, you know, tutoring, sports, music, bits and pieces. And because, I guess, our main core areas are Hammer Hill and Spearwood, but we're branching off into Melville, myself and Luke live in Melville, so that's why we want to sort of also tackle that sort of area. It's not easy for us to always get to 5:30 appointments, for example, or 3:30 appointments if we're doing kids' school pickups and swimming and tennis or whatever. So, Dad, in terms of do we do it equally, Dad will do a lot more of, effectively does all those viewings, unless there's two times that clash, because Dad's in the area. So it's a lot easier for him to get to somewhere at that time than myself or Luke if we're doing kids. So that's another benefit of having the team.
Beautiful.
We know that the job's going to get done properly because it's one of us that are representing our name.
And I guess from that perspective, being a family team, there's no assumptions or there's no worries about, perhaps this week I've done 10 more hours than you have. You better make it up. It doesn't matter. We do whatever we can do. I'm also a full-time carer for my father-in-law as well, which takes a lot of my time up personally. So between that and looking after my son, I'm limited to some extent. Had I not been involved in the family unit or the family team, I'm not so sure that my other team member, non-family member, would be
as accommodating.
And I'd feel guilty. I still do feel guilty, but I feel more so if it's not a family member.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess you, over a lifetime of family, you know that that comes back, you know, it ebbs and flows. So
it does.
That's beautiful. I love that. All right, guys, I want to get into your recent move to the agency. I mentioned it earlier in the episode, but we are seeing a lot of agents moving across to the agency at the moment, some from boutique offices, from your larger franchises. There is a strong wind blowing in that direction. So I wanted to ask to start with, after 10 years with Harcourts, what made you want to move on?
Well, the main reason is that, as Craig mentioned before, he lives in Atterdale, Luke lives in the Alfred Cove. We wanted to get into another area as well as our core area of Hamilton Hill, Spearwood, Lake Coogee.
Mm-hmm.
We do that very, very well, and we get a lot of referrals come back to us.
Mm-hmm.
The main reason I would say, apart from the systems that they've got, and Craig and Luke can touch on that better than what I can,
mm-hmm.
is that it's closer to their home. We've set up an office in Melville, and we want to tap into Melville, Alfred Cove, Atterdale, Picton, surrounding areas.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the main reason.
Okay.
So,
for the move to the agency?
That's one of the reasons, I would say. And that's the systems are phenomenal. Like, the support there, it's incredible. Like,
mm-hmm.
There's just nothing. There's no paperwork. Everything, look, they're not up to date. They're ahead of probably everyone else with technology.
Mm-hmm.
Very innovative. Like, they've got a lot of promotions. They're probably two or three steps ahead. And back to the point that you said before, I've seen some reps that have been, you know, doing it longer than me, 20, 30 years, 25 years, some 15, some whatever. And some of these reps are big, big riders, and they're all coming over. So they're obviously doing something right internally, and that's obviously why we sort of came across. We thought, with the tool support and the marketing edge they've got, in my opinion, over anyone else, that's in parallel, that will be a very good sort of advantage for us trying to tackle new areas.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't matter how many you've sold, you know, in Hammy Hill or Spearwood, if you want to reach into a new area, you've got to sort of perform in that area. Mm-hmm. The average seller, if it's Alfred Cove, for example, they're probably not too concerned if you sold 90 in Spearwood or Hamilton last year.
Yeah.
So it probably wouldn't have been as easy to try to get a foothold in if we weren't had a physical presence in the area,
mm-hmm.
by the office, by the support and systems and the technology and the marketing. It really is unrivaled.
Tell me, what were some of the challenges you found in moving across? I do get some agents who come in and go, you know, the movie's great, there's so much paperwork to get set up, or, you know, whatever it might be, that there's certain things that agents...
That was actually seamless. They took that component, they being the agency, and took that and made it very, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, for the first two or three days, there's an influx of new people with new processes.
Yeah.
That's just basically a meet and greet,
mm-hmm.
and they take everything off, get some IT to help you, put everything on the computer, simple shortcuts, everything set up, and availability. They're available anytime you need
to
contact. The biggest hurdle, I wouldn't say it's a big hurdle, but one barrier that most people would need to overcome, and admittedly us in particular, our databasing wasn't very good. Now, the number of people that we've met over the years is astronomical. It's huge.
Yeah.
Trying to record that data and tell them that we've come across, or make it known that we've come across, is always a bit of a barrier. There's always going to be slippage,
mm-hmm.
people that we don't advise. And that's our fault. We don't database as effectively as we should. But now we've got systems in place to help us move forward. And that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Can't go back in the past, just control what we can,
mm-hmm.
and look to move forward in the best possible manner.
Just on that, sorry to interrupt. So two things, and then obviously Dad will sort of give you his perspective. That would have happened anywhere. So whether we went to the agency or Joe Blow Real Estate, so that wasn't a challenge at the agency. That was our challenge
moving,
transitioning. Yeah. So I wasn't actually, I didn't attend the onboarding or the training because I had COVID, I think the first or second week. I think Dad had it or not. Anyway, so I didn't even attend any of the training internally, and I didn't have any issues at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how streamlined the systems are there. Because, as Luke said, you get a lot of contacts and this person will look after this and that. I wasn't even at the training because I wasn't at the office and I had no issues. So anyone that comes across is not going to have any issues at all, because if you can jump on board without, I'm not saying jump on board without going to any training, but I didn't have the benefit of in-house training and I still didn't have any issues. Everything was structured very easily.
And how do you find, were you at your previous offices, there were other agents, or was it just you guys managing that Southern
multi-class?
So when you moved to the agency, you were some of the only agents in that patch. You didn't have a Southern office essentially to work from, or that's how did you find going to kind of from being in an office environment where you had other agents to bounce off to being a solo, essentially solo operator with the support of...
That's probably the best person to answer
that. We never owned the office. I don't know if you're aware that we were working there under through someone else, through a licensee.
Another licensee.
So I wasn't sure whether you knew that or not. Because the way it come across as if that we owned
it. As if you owned it. That's just my...
No. But I just, as long as you knew that.
So Dad would probably have the biggest ostensible barrier of not having a physical office to start with. Dad is more of an old school...
Wants to have the shop front.
100%. Yes, less hands-on in terms of technology.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of a transition period. But that, interestingly, leads back to when you were talking about, do we have any defined roles? Because in the infant stages of the transition, when we didn't have the physical office in Melville that we do now, Craig and I were doing the physical listings and the physical offer and acceptance documents instead of Dad.
Yeah.
Because Dad's not necessarily across DocuSign and technology. So Craig and I were doing more of that, and Dad was doing lots of physical appointments. So that would have had the biggest barrier in moving across from a physical, tangible office to no office. But we managed because of the team environment. So, yes, potentially for someone more old school, you have to set up an office at home temporarily. If that's what you want to do moving forward. But now we do have the benefit of a physical office.
I'm one that likes to go into an office. You don't live in there, obviously, but because you've got work, you've got to be outside to do the work. But I like to go in there. You've got your machine, cut photos.
If you want to scan, it's a lot easier to do it there than try to scan 30 pages on your phone.
So I'd rather go in physically. You've got everything there for you. If there's another two or three in the office, it makes it so much easier.
Yeah, I'm a person that loves coming into my office, so I get that. Do you think, just thinking about obviously the timeline, and COVID was the 2 years prior, so you had to get used to working out of an office.
Yes.
Do you think that that potentially helped the transition a little bit?
Oh, I think so, 100%, because we were forced to work from home. For me personally, I enjoyed working for home because I used to do a lot more things that I, for instance, going into the computer, checking your past clients, etc., etc. When ringing in an office, you always get interrupted by someone. So in that aspect, it was great. But once we moved into Melville, I felt more comfortable.
Yeah.
Because the office where I previously worked is only a minute's drive from where I live. So it was a little bit, not hard, but until we had the office, which is about what, 6-7 weeks after we shifted?
No,
it was longer.
No, the office.
It was.
A few months.
A few months. So I had a bit of a relief and I got on with my work.
Beautiful.
Which is great.
Beautiful. Good. So excellent processes is what I'm hearing is just was the main draw card from you guys take that next level and, you know, not have to kind of manage that admin side of things.
It frees up your time to do what you want to do, which is to list and sell, meet new people, you know, not get bogged down in paperwork and admin stuff that it's not dollar productive.
Yeah.
Once you've got the listing, all the stuff in between, you just want to list it, do the viewing, sell it, and that's, you know, and offer the best service you can and as to the client, as opposed to being sort of held back with paperwork. And
yeah.
So we can get back to people, well, we do get back to people, unless we're in an appointment, literally in most times within several minutes,
mm-hmm.
Unless we're in a physical appointment with a client. So the response, the turnaround is pretty good. And another benefit of the team, generally, if a client tries to ring me, I might be at a viewing, then they'll try to ring Dad or Luke or vice versa. So mm-hmm. a lot of times, if we're all in different appointments, we might all have the same missed call, but at least the client knows they can reach, there's three options, not one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tell me my last question about this is that a lot of agents will say people are going to the agency because of the commission split. That's the number one reason. Was that a obviously that's a factor. Money's always a factor, but was it a driving factor in you guys initially considering them?
It wasn't a factor. Sorry, Craig. Yeah. It wasn't a factor at all about the money side of things. It's just the opportunities. And as I said before, it's closer to Craig, closer to Luke, and we're tapping into new areas.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just also reiterate on that. It wasn't a factor because just a bit of perspective myself and Luke. So I started 03, did my triennial in 04. Luke, I think, might have done his within a year or 2 years of starting. So if it was, I guess, about the commission, we both would have started our own office probably 19 years ago.
Yeah.
Just kept it small. We don't need anything big. We, you know, have our rent and roll. Whoever wants to come across, they'll make more. The commission is a bonus if it's a higher number, the percentage relative to where they are, but they're going to make more because your time is freed up incredibly. So you're going to have a lot more time to go out and prospect, door knock, letterbox, whatever you want to do. So whatever you want to do, because you're not tied in doing the admin stuff that you will be unfortunately required to do in most other offices, mm-hmm. because that's just how they're set up. The normal office might have one or two. Depends on how many reps, support, admin girls. But Luke, if Luke needs something done at 2 o'clock and I need something done at 2 o'clock, that one admin girl can't do two things at once.
Mm-hmm.
But in this scenario, there's six or seven or eight or nine allocated support partners. So the turnaround response in terms of what things can get done, whoever comes across will make more, put the commission, the percentage aside, because they're going to have a lot more free time to grow their business internally.
Do their core business.
The commission percentage is just a bonus if it's higher than what they're getting now.
Yeah.
They'll make, even if they come across on a lower number, the productivity, they're probably going to make more anyway,
mm-hmm.
Because you can't get that support anywhere else.
Yeah.
It's the IT support, the marketing support, the assistant support. You've got compliance, management, property management, other income generating streams as well, good recruitment, good training. You can tap into the meeting each week.
Yeah.
Not tap into the meeting.
Yeah.
Watch it later on. So it's a very, very good system.
Beautiful. So I just do want to clarify to those listening that we are not in any way affiliated to the agency.
No, yes.
And that certainly we didn't. I'm sure Stuart Cox will be very pleased when he hears this podcast. But I was genuinely interested because there are so many really great reps moving across, and there has to be, you know, exactly what you guys have just said, the reasons behind that. They are obviously doing something very, very well over there. So my final question for you guys, what does the next year or so look like for Team Trolio?
Hopefully we're trying to convince to take Dad to Italy with my kids and my wife, but I don't know if that's going to happen. But, I mean, from a work perspective, I think, as Luke said, our database in has been – well, we haven't really done anything the last 20 years. So that's the truth, though. So the stuff that we've got, the tools that we've got now, we've obviously made a decision, would be mad not to implement those.
Yeah.
So we think going forward, where our business will grow organically and also through by effort, I guess. But, yeah, I just wouldn't mind sort of, you know, taking Dad overseas if we could.
There you go, Nick.
And just continue to do what we do, which is where we are now.
Beautiful.
Work together, go for lunches virtually every day, coffees every day.
You guys are living the dream.
Living the dream.
Well, that's the number one thing for us is family and friends.
Yeah.
Work's a byproduct. You have to work up into a certain stage. Just be honest with people. Put in the hard yards. What will happen will happen. We're not ultimately about the bottom dollar.
Yeah.
Health first. dollar will come after it.
I love that.
Yeah, I'm definitely a people's person as well. I love meeting new people, and we do every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's part of my upbringing, I suppose, with my parents. So, you know, they were very, very, I was fortunate to have the parents that I had, and I had a lot of support from them. And I'm trying to give that to my sons, Craig and Luke, and my other two sons. So I have four sons, so I've kept quite busy.
Seems like you're doing a very good job, Nick.
Thank you.
I think. Well done, guys.
Thanks for that.
Thanks.
Good luck for the next year, and a pleasure to have you in.
Yeah, Craig, I'm sure once Stuart Cox, both of you, hear it, get a pay rise. It's bloody,
we might get a buddy pay cut after the same.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.